You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
Happy Resurrection Day. Our scripture reading will be in Matthew 28th chapter, and we'll be dealing with the first 10 verses. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, "Fear ye not, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell the disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you so." And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with a fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. As they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "All hail." And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said unto them, "Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me." Now, Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd add your blessing to the reading of this, your holy word, because we ask it in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.
Wasn't that great?
I was thinking, you know, the Bible says that we need to hide the word in our heart. And in order to hide it in our heart, we're going to have to get it in our mind first, aren't we? You can't put it in the heart till you have it in your mind. And that's one thing about aging. Your memory doesn't work quite as well, does it? I want you to turn in your Bibles to the 28th chapter of Matthew. Joe read those verses. We'll talk about some of the things that even the kids quoted in some of their verses. On this day, we probably have more people that will be attending church than any other day of the year, with the exception of maybe Christmas. I have a friend, pastor of the church down in Houston, who every Easter used to wish all the people that came Happy New Year and Merry Christmas. He said he wouldn't see a lot of them again until next Easter. And I hope that's not the way here. We think of the resurrection. He lives, and we talk about that. Not only at Easter, but at funerals. I did a funeral recently, and I don't get to do many funerals or marriages because, one, I'm not a pastor, and two, the group I run with, they're a pretty wild bunch anyway, when you deal with inmates, but I do have one little problem. I have a large family on my mama's side. And every time one of them goes to get married or dies, they call us. And the last one was really, really kind of rough, because from all appearances, this person was not a Christian. They had a little more faith than I did, though, because the casket that they bought for him had a drawer in it right here, and they put pictures and notes in. I'd never seen that in a casket. I never knew you could read and look at those pictures. But I guess you could do that as quick as you could smell the flowers, couldn't you? But anyway, and I was really troubled about this. I told Linda I'd rather take a beating and try to. I mean, you know, what do you say at a funeral for somebody that in all appearances has never trusted Christ? But God in His graciousness kind of bailed me out, because two or three of the family members said they wanted to talk, and I said, just get it, man. You know, and so I did my part, come down to about 5 minutes, and that was great because I read slow. And I didn't have much to say, but I really was reminded of the guy that were these two brothers that lived in town, and they were both just sorry as they could be. I mean, they were just rotten type people. They were gamblers and drunkards and thieves, and one of them died. And the other one went to one of the pastors in town, and he said, preacher, he said, I want you to do my brother's funeral, and I'll give you $100,000 if you'll just tell everybody my brother was a saint. Now you can imagine the dilemma that throws a preacher in. They always want money. And this guy was really perplexed. $100,000, but how could he say that? I mean, everybody in town knew how far this guy was. But God in His graciousness gave him a thought. And he got up and he stood in the casket in front of him, and he stood and he said, I want everybody here to know that this guy, everybody knows him. He was sorry. He was a drunk. He abused his wife. He abused his kids. He was a cheat. But let me tell you something. As compared to his brother, he was a saint. Always away in there. My grandma and grandpa, and I had a godly grandma. My grandpa was a pretty sour old cuss. All I remember about him was just kind of, he was grumpy. Now, he was a deacon in the Baptist church, and he was there every Sunday. But he was just grumpy, and he was about 15 years older than my grandmother, and they both ended up in the nursing home together. And we didn't know it back then. She probably had some Alzheimer's. That was before we understood about the word. We didn't have it. But her mind would kind of go. And he preceded her in death. And my aunt was out one day at the nursing home. And my grandma was talking about him. And she asked my aunt. She said, where's Papa? She always called him Papa. She said, where's Papa? And my aunt, which was her daughter, said, Mama, said, Papa's gone on to heaven. And my grandma sat on the edge of the bed for a little bit and then looked back up at her and said, how'd he get there? I had the same question, but we're always, when we think of the resurrection, that you can't have resurrection without death, can you? You just cannot have it. And we commemorate that day. And God always had His people commemorating days. The children of Israel commemorated the day of crossing the Red Sea for years, the Passover. God does this to cause us to remember. I'm glad we do this. Joe mentioned that twice a year, and there's 2 days, twice a year, throughout the world, that people are reminded, one, that God came and became flesh. And then, that He arose. Wherever they are, I mean, we've got it. I know there's a lot of commercialism in it. I know there's a lot of twisting. But I want you to know that twice a year, God's testimony that He came and that He arose goes throughout the world. And what a day that first day was. God in the flesh. What a day. What a day. Even on Calvary, that the kids were quoting about when Christ was going to the cross. Horrible day. God turned His back on His Son. For the first time, Jesus Christ said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But he'd not look upon sin, and Christ became sin for us. Christ knew no sin, but he became sin for us that we might have eternal life, that we might have our sin redeemed and cleansed and wiped away. A day when the disciples fled and were scared. One of the verses they mentioned, Joseph of Arimathea came for the body of Christ. Only two people showed up. Joseph of Arimathea, Nicodemus, who had come to Jesus by night. I don't know if you ever try to kind of look behind the scenes and try to get the pictures you read the Bible. And to me, I think that when Joseph of Arimathea went in and took the body of Jesus and put it in his tomb, reckon what Joseph's wife said to him that night. You did what? We're going to need that. Now, many of you, or some of you, you've already got your plot paid for. Now, suppose you walked in and said, I just give it away. Guy died downtown, and they didn't have a place to bury him, so I give mine away. And so, honey, when you die, he'll be buried by you. No, because, see, we bought these plots. We're pretty pagan sometime, aren't we? So we'd be together in eternity. But Joseph goes in and said, and I'm sure some of the relatives and the kids, see, you did what? You put him in your tomb? And I can just see Joseph said, yeah, but he ain't going to need it long. It's just for 3 days. He's not going to hurt anything. The angels will clean it up. It'll be fine. It's usable. Now there's another group in this. His enemies feared. I want you to you're open at chapter 28. Look at verse 6. And we all know the first part of this. It said he's not here. By the way, it was only women that went to that tomb. The disciples have all fled. The Bible said they forsook him and fled. They're hidden somewhere. And the women don't go because they expect him to be gone. They go to prepare his body because it wasn't prepared enough for burial to bring the ointments and the things to preserve the body. That's why they go. But there's someone there, the angel, said, fear not, I know whom you seek, Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here. He is risen, and then he kind of digs them a little bit. He said, as he said, didn't anybody believe him? The disciples have walked with him for 3.5 years, and the first time he announces that he's going to die, Peter throws a fit, said, you not either. We'll not have that. That's most of our beliefs, by the way. We all got certain things, and we'll just not have it any other way. And then when Christ did not do it like they thought he would, the disciples on the road to Emmaus, when Christ joined them and didn't reveal himself to them, they said, well, we thought it would be he that would deliver Israel. They had their own program in mind of how Christ ought to do it. Some of us do that. Think about some of your prayer life. You ever give him instructions when you pray? Now, Lord, here's what I want you to do. Maybe the model prayer in the Bible might be the last one that Mary ever prayed in the second chapter of John when Christ comes to the wedding. And she goes to Jesus, they've run out of wine. And she says to Jesus, they have no wine. She didn't say, now here's what you need to do. You need to... She didn't say, okay, now you need to send disciples back in town and get some wine. She didn't tell him how you ought to do it. In fact, I don't think that how he did it ever crossed her mind that it'd ever be done that way. But she did say this to the rest of the people, whatever he tells you to do, do it. That's good instruction. What he says goes. Now, it's pretty hard to find out anymore what he said because everybody keeps changing. But I still think that we can get to that. But go back with me to the 26th chapter of Matthew a moment. A few pages back. Oh, I'm sorry, 27th chapter, not 26th, right? In the 27th chapter and verse 62 says, now the next day that followed, the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, now notice, Christ has been crucified. Now they're back with Pilate, and here's what they say. Sir, we remember that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days, I will rise again. Command therefore that the sepulcher be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. So the last era shall be worse than the first. Isn't it amazing that his enemies remembered and even believed? Because why would you, if they didn't believe some of this, why would you put a guard out there? Why would they want to seal the tomb? Why would they want to make it sure? And in fact, this is what Pilate said in verse 65. He said, you have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as you can. And so they went and made the sepulcher sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. When we got on the plane to come up here, at the airport, there were soldiers. The guy in their camouflage fatigues with M1 rifles. Everybody knows what that's for. Nobody lives in a vacuum. September 11th has changed a lot of things in our lifestyle in America. So they're not a shocking sight anymore. They've been doing that for quite a while. They're standing there guarding. I've never seen them at the graveyard. For the first time in history, and the only time in history, that the Roman government put their Roman seal on the tomb and called in the National Guard to guard it. Can you believe guarding a tomb? So what are you guys doing? Now don't, again, when I think in the background and Mama says, son, why are you going to be gone? Well, I've got an assignment. What is it? I'm guarding a tomb. Because we're afraid this guy's going to rise from the dead. You're doing what? You mean our government is spending money to guard a tomb so the guy won't get up? So surely you got this wrong. Maybe somebody is going to desecrate the grave. Oh, no. No, no. This guy, because he told people he's going to get up. Oh, yeah. Disciples don't think about this. The followers of him, we don't believe much sometimes what he says. The angel reminded them, he's not here. He's risen as he said he's going to be. They said, we've got to protect this. This deceiver said. There's a lot of doubt in this non-believer in this situation. But he arose. And by the way, that completes mine and your story of salvation. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that he died according to the Scripture. Paul said, this is my gospel, that Christ died according to the Scriptures, was buried, and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's the message we preach. This is the message that we take to people. If someone says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? We tell them this story, that Jesus died for sin, was buried, and rose again the third day. That payment was complete. God accepted it. And what a day. What a day. Now I want to call your attention to another story. That's not the only story circulated. You're in Matthew 28. We quit at verse 10. Join me at verse 11. Matthew 28, verse 11. Now, when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priest all things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while he slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. There's another story being circulated. They came in and said, hey, this is what happened. The stone's rolled away. And by the way, the stone wasn't rolled away to let Christ out. The stone was rolled away to let the women in. And Mary Magdalene and went told Peter and John, and they came and looked and went in. But they came back and said, hey, this is what happened. They set a watch. They made it as sure as they could. And it didn't work. And so they come back. Now, hold your finger there a moment. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. And one of the many occasions in which Jesus Christ was being grilled and questioned, beginning at verse 38. Matthew 12:38, then certain of the scribes and the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall be no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And here's the sign. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. They said, give us a sign. He relates this one thing to them. Turn with me to the 16th chapter of Matthew. Verse 1, Matthew 16:1. And the Pharisees, also with the Sadducees, came and tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. And we'll skip to verse 4. And he said, a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. 2 times they said, give us a sign. 2 times he said, as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. He said, that's what you need to look for. Now, verse 11 that we just while ago read, Matthew 28. Jesus Christ has been in the heart of the earth 3 days and 3 nights. The people who have crucified him have made a watch. They've made that tomb as secure as they can. They're back in the city, and behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priest all things that were done. Now, anybody that wanted to know the truth would have said, that's the sign. That's it. That's the sign. That's what he told us. 3 days, three nights, and now he's gone. That's it. We found the Messiah. But if you'll notice something, they do not say, get those guards in here and we're going to have interrogation and see how this happened. They don't do that. They did not say, let's bring the disciples and that group that followed him and let's question them and see if they did get him. They don't have any of that. There's no questioning or interrogation or investigation of anything. Nobody goes out and says, let's see if it's really like you said it is. That would normally happen. You'd investigate, you'd question, you'd interrogate if we're seeking for truth. But when they come in and told, they said, here's how we're going to handle this. We're going to say this. See, this reveals obvious denial. This reveals premeditated judgment. This reveals a closed mind of unbelief. Many of us have almost, and I hope you haven't totally, but at least September 11th has done some things for many of us. But I want you to be aware that the name of Jesus Christ is as much anathema today as it was on September the 10th. Oh, we'll talk about God, we talk about prayer, but it's still a very bad word because the world does not want to hear about Jesus Christ. Let me tell you why. With these two stories that were circulating, and we got a lot more today, and the Sunday school, Clark talked about the Hindu and the Buddhist and the different religions that come up, and we've got the Muslim religion, and we have all these different things. And let me tell you something about that. See, there's only one that changes lives. When we go into prison, when I go into jail, when I talk to family members that just lost a loved one, there's only one story circulated that changes a drunk into a good neighbor. There's only one story that comforts in the night. There's only one story that will bring peace beside a casket. There's only one story that still works in the lives of men and women, and that's the story of he is not here, but he's risen. You can tell the other story. You can tell any other story. But nothing works. It doesn't change anybody. It doesn't help anybody. It doesn't give any hope. It doesn't give any peace. It doesn't give any comfort. Only the story that Jesus Christ arose from the dead. And then there's the last verse. It says, coming another day. That's when he comes back. When we meet him face to face. I want you to bow your heads a moment. We're going to be dismissed in just a moment. But please let me beg you that if you do not know this one that arose, I'm not asking you about church membership. I'm not asking you about your religion. I'm not asking you about your belief. What I'm asking you about is, do you know this Jesus? And when that time comes, whatever it is, when you leave this world and stand before God, and he says to you, why should I let you into my heaven? That you've got the answer. You can say, beyond a shadow of a doubt, I put my faith and trust in your Son for this very moment. I believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior. If you can't say that, if you've not done that, would you just, while our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, by just the show of your hand, would you say, Leland, pray for me? when you pray in a moment. I want to know. I want to be sure. I want to have that assurance, that confidence. Pray for me. Is there one like that? Is there one? Our Father, thank you that you, that Jesus Christ arose. Thank you for your amazing grace that you helped us believe that story, not the other one. That you opened our eyes and our minds. And thank you for those that are here, that all could say, I know Jesus Christ. Father, help us to tell others that do not know. Help us to be burdened for them. And bless those that are here today, that we have the thrill and the joy of just walking with you every day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.